Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Gaslighting the Warfighter. A very special episode. It's our one-year anniversary. My goodness, I can't believe how time has gone by so fast. 12 episodes in the bank. If you have not listened to the previous episodes, you can go back in time. Go to any place that you download podcasts, and you can get up to speed on the previous episodes. I'll be flying solo today. Miss Rosie is not with us. She'll be she's with John Stewart right now, so we'll see her this weekend. But I got a very, very special guest today that I'm super excited to share with you guys. But before we get to that, really quickly, we want to talk about some opportunities and where we're at with everything toxic exposure. So, you know, as you may have heard with our last episode, we talked about how the Senate has come to an agreement on H.R. 3967. And we have recently seen 150 pages of the new bill and the agreement that has come to. And you know, I think there's a lot of excitement. I think we have something here, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to really change the dynamics of veteran healthcare, toxic exposure now, and most importantly, toxic exposure in the future for our future warfighters for conflicts that we haven't even anticipated yet. So super excited about this. Now, we have some great opportunities here in the future that are coming up. One this weekend, in fact, where we will be going to Washington, D.C. For a very special Memorial Day celebration that is being put on by AmVets. If you don't know who they are, go to check them out online, AmVets.org. They're an incredible organization, and they are hosting Rolling to Remember, which was kind of remembered as Rolling Thunder, and now is rebranded. We're going to bring Joe on here just shortly to talk about that. But, you know, we're going to be up there this weekend talking about the PACT Act in front of a captivated audience of American patriots and veterans that are celebrating this weekend. And it's going to be really, really great, you know, to get this opportunity to spread the word of what we're trying to get accomplished here and get as more people educated into this situation is the most important thing. So John Stewart, Rosie Torres, myself, and many other VSOs, all the ones that you know and love, the VFW, Wounded Warrior Project, DAV, IAVA, they're all going to be there. They're all going to get up there, and we're all going to you know, have a conversation about toxic exposure with a very large audience. So if you are in the area of D.C. this weekend, come and check it out. We'll be at the RFK Stadium on Saturday and Sunday, where the festivities begin, and it's going to be a great day. It's supposed to be really nice, so that's going to be exciting. And I'm super excited about that. So that's what's coming up in the near term. And then, obviously, you know, just continuing to pile on and move forward on getting the vote, right? We need this vote to get the floor of the Senate and move past that hurdle so that we can get this onto the president's desk, right? The most important objective of all, right? And, you know, let's try to get this done in June. I think that's something that can be done here, right? I think we got something very cool, very groundbreaking in terms of what the bill is going to be providing. Now we're in just that final stretch, so we need the vote and we need the signature from the president. So with that being said, I'd like to introduce, ladies and gentlemen, a great American, a great patriot, a former Marine that... You know, I just learned before the show we were talking, this individual, Joe Schinelli, was in both the initial invasion of Iraq and the initial invasion of Afghanistan, vice versa, one happening before the other. But, you know, incredible, incredible American and continuing to do great stuff for the veteran community. So, Joe, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor to be on here with you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Now, you know, an incredible past there. Let's before we get into the meats and the potatoes, if you will, tell us a little bit about yourself, your military history, and what led you to your current position.
Sure. Yeah. So I enlisted in '98 into the Marine Corps, and just, you know, wanted to be part of something larger than myself. Came from parents were hippies, and wanted to do something different and give back to a nation that had been kind of living the American dream. And, when I enlisted, never thought there'd be a war. Right? No one thought someone would be stupid enough to attack the United States again. But I wanted to get out, see the world, didn't know it'd be all the worst places. And kept arguing with my master guns to get deployed and be on the MEU, 15th Marine Expeditionary Unit, you know, forward deployed. And so I was forward deployed when 9/11 happened. We were in Darwin, Australia, and we went right up to Pakistan, secured an airbase there in Jacobabad for search and rescue before the planes went in. Then went back to the ships, and then was part of the first wave into Afghanistan, ended up taking Kandahar in early December of 2001, and just kind of lived a crazy life after that period of just being in the right place at the right time and being able to you know, be parts of history. And when I had extended so I could be go on that deployment, and when I came back, I became a staff writer for Leatherneck magazine in Quantico, Virginia. Wanted to be a writer and started getting to do that. And then I got a call and asked if I'd be willing to come back in off IRR to go over to Iraq. Jumped at that opportunity. Said, if make sure I'm not going to be answering phones at Camp Pendleton or something, that I'm actually going to get to go over and get the boots dirty again. They said, absolutely. And so get to go spend the first year in Iraq. And, you know, when I came back, became a reporter for Military Times and USA Today. I was dealing with some survivor guilt. You know, I was very blessed to be able to make it back in one piece, but, you know, not everyone obviously was able to, be that blessed. So I wanted to figure out ways to fight for my fellow veterans and their families. Went to veterans advocacy and started working with AMVETS, doing media relations and communications, marketing, and eventually worked my way up and been the executive director now at the national level here at AMVETS for about the last 6 years.
Wow. Well, congratulations. An incredible story. I've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of people. Most of the people that I've met that have been part of both of those invasions were mostly special operations people. It's quite unique to come across a Marine that was on both the sides of this thing. So, you know, I've got one like fascinating question that I've, that comes to mind for me is, you know, when you're thinking about, or let me rephrase this, in Afghanistan, when you're on that line of departure, right, and you're ready to go versus the line of departure when we were ready to go in the invasion of Iraq, I have to imagine two completely different scenarios that, you know, spark a different type of feeling. Like, what were you experiencing in both of those situations?
Sure. Well, Afghanistan, you know, the world had just changed, you know, weeks earlier. And I remember, you know, we were in Darwin, Australia. We had our first night of liberty since, you know, we left the United States a month prior. And, you know, I was in a bar. It was late at night there. And the lights popped up in the bar. Somebody jumped up on the bar and said, everybody, all Americans, get back to your ships. I remember getting down to the ship and getting on board. And the TVs were still on the mess decks. They were turned on and we saw what was happening. And, you know, the anger. I'm from New York State, from Rochester, which is quite a ways from New York City, but, you know, it's still my home state. I have a lot of friends and family in New York City. And, you know, seeing what it was enraged us, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, going into Afghanistan, we still had some of that, you know, that rage in our minds. And we wanted to, you know, do whatever we needed to do to strike back and also prevent it from happening again. You know, Iraq was a little bit of a different mindset. You know, it was more of, you know, decapitating a dictator, mm-hmm. those types of things. And Iraq, you know, was built up in Kuwait for months in 130 degree weather and all of that. So, you know, it was two very different experiences. Mm-hmm. The morale was high in both, but, you know, the motivation going into Afghanistan was, you know, something that's still undescribable for me.
Sure. Yeah. And if I recall, the 15th MEU is special operations capable. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. So when we launched in, we went in with SEALs and PJs and Rangers and Berets, and they all came out to our ships, and we were their basing station while we were getting ready to go in. Of course, it was all amphibious landings for a country that was landlocked. You know, our amphibious landing 400 miles before we actually got into the country.
Sure.
I was got to meet and work directly with a lot of our spec ops guys, and, you know, we're direct supportive of what they were doing at first.
It's outstanding. Well, that some vivid memories, I'm sure.
Seems like a lifetime ago.
It does. No, it does.
Right. I remember a lot of details that I probably don't remember of anything else, you know, 20 plus years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, you're back in the States here and you're doing incredible things. Tell a little bit everybody about what AMVETS does and why does it exist?
Sure. So AMVETS is a congressionally chartered veteran service organization. You know, we're 83 years into this organization's history right now. We're similar to what American Legion, VFW do. We have posts across the country. We have about 250,000 members. You know, so that camaraderie and action at the grassroots and the community level is a key thing that we do. Our eligibility for joining is anyone who has honorably served in the U.S. military. And then we have auxiliary units as well for women and men who may be related to veterans. But we don't have a requirement that you had to have served overseas or during a time of war or anything along those lines. So in effect, our mission is to represent the interests of all 19 million veterans today. So it gives us a broad range of what we need to focus on. And, you know, what we work, you know, with the White House, no matter who the American people, you know, send, and same with Congress, the Senate. So, you know, we're out there every day trying to fight for veterans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's fantastic. And, you know, part of that idea of, you know, bringing honor and, you know, service to the 19 million veterans, you guys got involved in, you know, making sure that the what was once Rolling Thunder and now is Rolling to Remember is continuing to happen in Washington, D.C. Why is this important?
Well, first, it's an incredible advocacy tool. Mm-hmm. Congress and the White House, they pay attention to how many people show up to this every year. They pay attention to what we have to say, what the many speakers that we bring in have to say. They understand, you know, votes, and they understand if we have 100,000 people show up, and that's 100,000 people who really deeply care about these issues. Mm-hmm. And in effect, they have to care about these issues. And so, you know, in late 2018, when it was announced that Rolling Thunder was going to hold one more run and that was going to be it, we knew that as veterans advocates, we were losing a really important tool. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to do that. We didn't feel we could afford to do that. You know, Rolling Thunder, over its 32 years, advocated specifically for full accountability of our missing in action and prisoners of war. And, you know, that issue, while we still have 82,000 missing in action, unaccounted for, it's somewhat generational. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have anyone missing in action still from Iraq or Afghanistan or even from the Gulf War, the first Gulf War. So we knew that it was still important. We knew that there are other topics could be covered while maintaining, you know, that tradition and integrity of what Rolling Thunder had been for years. So we reached out to Rolling Thunder in 2018 and said, you know, we'll do whatever we need to help you keep this thing going. We explained our point of view, how important it was. Unfortunately, Rolling Thunder itself at the national level wasn't interested in keeping it going. We'd offered to help provide funding, provide help with getting permits, which is a difficult, mm-hmm. complicated process here in D.C.
Yeah. And ultimately, that was the crux of why Rolling Thunder chose not to continue is, you know, the problem with the permitting, correct?
So there's, I mean, there's, so there's stated reasons. and then, you know, being very respectful for those who put it together for the many, many years. And we're, you know, I'm very good friends with two of the original founders of Rolling Thunder. Mm-hmm. We'll have them out there Rolling to Remember on Sunday. I'll just say it was more complicated than that.
Okay.
And part of it was the people who were organizing at this point were getting to a point maybe in their life and their health where they couldn't continue keeping it moving.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to pass it along to somebody else within their organization. They didn't want the name to continue without them. And they had trademarked the name. And so we reached out to a lot of other organizations. I'd say for the first 6 months of this effort, we didn't really ever seriously consider becoming the organizers of the event. But after a while, a lot of work, we found no one else was really interested. You know, it's a massive undertaking. It's expensive. It's complicated. It's, and you know, attendance had been dwindling. Again, I think largely because, you know, of the aging of the mission itself. And so we've added suicide prevention to the mission. And that's something that we believe is cross-generational. We think it's as pertinent as anything in the veterans community right now. But we've also kept the door open, you know, to use this platform and other important things in veterans' lives. And the PACT Act is, you know, clearly that. And so we're really pleased that we're able to include that as part of, you know, what we're fighting for this weekend.
Absolutely. Now, with that, and, you know, putting some attention into the upper, that conversation, what, you know, you're 100,000 people are going to hear this message, right? And then they're going to amplify that message, right? They're going to take that back to their homes. They're going to tell their families. They're going to tell their friends. And they're going to say, man, this is an incredible experience. But during that experience, I learned about something that is happening within our community that to this day, still, you know, many of those have who have even served have no idea that toxic exposure is a thing. And a lot of these people are dying from cancers and not even knowing that they those cancers are, you know, predicated from their time in service. You know, so, you know, how during that this weekend, how has AMVETS provided this opportunity for these speakers to come up? How what is that going to look like?
Sure. So on Saturday at 1 p.m., we'll have we're going to kind of pause what we're doing. You know, Saturday is largely focused on suicide prevention. At least that's how we had been building it out. And so we're going to pause for an hour from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And we're going to talk specifically about the PACT Act, why it's so important. And we're going to ask everyone who's there to scan the QR code that's up on the screen, send an email to their two senators. We're hoping for at least 50,000 emails to be sent over the weekend. Really put pressure on the senators, because as you talked about in the intro on the show, and the, you know, this is a monumental piece of legislation that will absolutely change for the better many, many veterans' lives and their families' lives, and the survivors of veterans have already passed. And we'll make that really clear. We're going to bring people who are fighting this, people who have lost through this, and, you know, really put a face on this issue so that everybody is well aware. Because you're right, the understanding of how serious this issue is, it's just not adequate. And I think that's in large part why it's taken so long to be able to get this fixed through.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, every day I hear more and more people in my small little orbit that, hey, Tim, I, you know, I just got diagnosed with cancer. Like, you know, I get these horrible, and I know Rosie does as well. And, you know, it's a terrible thing that that we're having to experience as a community. But, you know, I'm thankful that we have this platform, right, that we can use as an opportunity to educate as many people out there as possible on this particular issue. And more importantly, to be aware of it, but also to be having conversations with your primary care provider, right, and saying, hey, you know, these are some of the experiences that I have been around, right, and, you know, need to be thought of while I'm having conversations with my doctor on particular things that, you know, in the privacy of medical, whatever may be ailing the individual. But it's absolutely important, right? And that's what we are trying to accomplish here with this show, with Grunt Style being involved in this conversation, is to educate more and more people on this situation, right? And I think that's what is so beautiful about this opportunity with AMVETS and Rolling to Remember is now this is another whole new audience of individuals of a, you know, 100,000 plus people that are coming for a very specific reason. And they're going to walk away with some education. They're going to walk away from hearing directly from the organizations that have been in this fight for a very long time. And it's going to be absolutely extraordinary. Now, go
ahead. I agree. It's going to be extraordinary, Tim. And one of the extraordinary parts of this, too, is all of these organizations coming together.
Yes.
You know, we're not competing with each other, but we do often have, you know, slightly different takes on the issues, and we have different priorities. But it's really rare to see all of the major veterans organizations coming together and standing united like this over one thing. And that really should impress upon everyone how important this legislation is, how big of a deal this is. You know, and I'm really looking forward to seeing everyone together, standing shoulder to shoulder on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't think of any other legislation in the modern era that has or will affect the veteran community as big and as profound as this piece of legislation right here. So, you know, it's absolutely incredible. And we're making so much progress every day on this. So, you know, super exciting. Now, we were talking a little bit before the show, you know, the tradition of all this, right? I remember when I was a young lad of 17 years old and telling my mother that I wanted to join the military. And I've shared this story a few times with the Grunstall audience. But, you know, my mom was a little bit apprehensive of me joining the Marine Corps because she came from that Vietnam period. And a lot of the males that had went off from her, you know, time in high school, had never come back. And, you know, she wanted to impress upon me the decision that I was making and took me up to Washington, D.C. You know, got to see her copy names of gentlemen that she could recall from her days in high school. And, you know, that was honestly the first time I actually saw my mother cry from reasons that I hadn't provoked, right? And, you know, that was a very profound moment for me. You know, something I want to do this weekend, you know, and I think it's kind of circular in craziness, but creating those traditions is my son leaves for Navy boot camp on the 23rd of June. And this is an opportunity I get to share with him. And I think it's a little bit different than the experience my mother had, but I think the idea is still the same, but tradition, right? This has been going on for, you know, decades, and, you know, you guys have picked up and continued to make sure that these issues, these opportunities of bringing veterans together, and most importantly, getting the opportunity to educate as many people as you possibly can and showing Congress that, you know, the veteran community is strong, the veteran community has a point of view, and the veteran community demands, accountability. And that's what this event is for.
Absolutely right. I love that story, Tim. I'm definitely going to share that with our team tonight. We have one last pep rally of sorts. We make sure everybody's motivated because it's been a lot of hard work, long time. I want people to understand, you know, the importance of this. And I think those family traditions, and, you know, hopefully it'll be around long enough for your son to maybe one day bring his son or daughter out there, and, you know, and hopefully keep doing great things. And, you know, I just think it's important for our volunteers. I have great volunteers. But then for everyone who shows up to understand they really are making a difference and will continue to make a difference for years to come.
Absolutely. Now, MVETS is doing a lot of great things. What else are you guys involved in beyond this weekend's festivities with Rolling to Remember? Any big initiatives that you want to get our audience put in front of them?
Our biggest priority, so our list of priorities, you know, we've got four. Toxic exposure has been right on that list, and we are just so pleased right now that we're probably going to be able to take that off our list for the first time in 30 years once we get this through. But you know, what will be left there at the very top of our priority list will continue to be mental health, suicide prevention for our veterans. We know the mental health care system, not just in the veterans community, but nationwide, is broken.
Yeah.
And our focus is on the mental health care system for veterans. We're very pleased that we were able to have some big wins over the last couple of years to be able to at least get our federal government to attempt to test some of these smaller alternative types of therapy and things like Boulder Crest, Warrior Path, to be able to Camp Hope, you know, where it's not necessarily just recreational therapy. I don't think the understanding is quite there. It's really immersive, you know, long-term programs to be able to help veterans not just become unsick, but to actually live well and to, you know, learn that resiliency, learn, you know, life sucks at times for everybody, right? And so learning how to be able to weather those, you know, those big road bumps, and some are obviously much larger than others, and really learn how to live your best life. And that's something the VA hasn't really focused on.
Yeah.
You know, they've focused on addressing symptoms, usually with medication. You know, and we continue to push really hard on VA and on Congress to be able to try some of these other things in a way where we're providing real resources from the federal government to these, you know, these groups, organizations. And to be clear, AMVETS is not looking for a penny on this. We don't have those types of programs. We're not advocating for ourselves here. We're advocating for you know, individuals and groups, organizations that we think can really make a difference. And we want them to have the chance to be able to prove that to the VA and make that part of the, you know, more holistic approach to mental health.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And, you know, I think that's absolutely, you know, spot on, right? Mental health is not just a veteran issue. It's a national issue. And we, you know, COVID has really like opened up you know, how fragile this conversation really is, right? You know, I've shared a few times with, you know, individuals that I know in my circle. I get to travel a lot. And, you know, the things that I see when traveling, like I've never seen before. Like, I'm, you know, taking an Uber from, you know, the airport to my hotel, you know, you pass a car where the driver is like crying uncontrollably, you know, and I've seen more of that in the last 18 months than I probably would ever want to see. You know, and it's a real conversation, and there are real problems that people are struggling with out there. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, as the, you know, economy tumbles along here, like I don't think things are going to get easier, and we're going to need to, you know, find ways of leaning on each other to say, hey, you know, we got you, like, you know, and look to your left and your right and saying, you know, lifting people up, right? That is going to be the next charge that we need to be doing is, you know, looking around and how are we improving our community, right? Not just the veteran community, but this community and this idea of America.
You're absolutely right. And it's lifting each other up is a great way to put it. And, you know, I've talked to people, meet with people, and they're like, I'd love to be able to do that, but I'm down and out myself. How do I lift someone else up?
Right.
You know, sometimes you can do that. You can still do that. And a lot of times you're lifting yourself as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the two of you can climb out of that hole together. And, you know, eventually you might realize, you know, it wasn't really a hole, it's just life. Yeah. And, but now that you know you're not alone, you know how to get through it. And that's, you know, making sure that our fellow veterans know they're not alone.
Right.
It's something that we work on every single day, and our members across the country do. And it's something I urge everyone, whether you're a veteran or not, just to reach out, you know, make sure people know that they're not alone. And if you are in crisis or feeling down, you know, let somebody know. It's okay to, you know, identify that. You know, the phrase, it's okay not to be okay, and I agree with that. But at the same time, it's not okay to not be okay and just stay there.
Yeah.
You just look for a way out. And that's almost always, you know, by finding others around you who you may not even realize at this point that they're in their own crisis.
Yeah.
You can work through these together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I would like to connect you with a really great individual, and you maybe already have connected with him, but Boone Cutler is an individual has the Spartans Pledge, right?
Yes.
And he's been running that program for quite some time. It's he's an incredible human, and does some great things within the community. But you know, and I don't give the Army a lot of credit because I'm a Marine, but you know, I got to tell you, the Battle Buddy program that they have, you know, is something that, you know, that you could take beyond the military. And, you know, giving a call to anybody that you served with, and just be like, hey, buddy, how's it going? Like that little buddy check, right? And it's something that it's created behavior. I'm going to connect you with Boone if you haven't connected with him already. He's a great, great human.
I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, I'm looking forward to seeing you this weekend. It's going to be a lovely, lovely time in the nation's capital. You know, it's always beautiful in that time of this time of year there, and super excited about it, and super excited for your event and what you guys are trying to what you will accomplish with this event, and now, today, and in the future. So thank you, and thank you for joining with us today.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. Appreciate this very much. Appreciate everything you're doing for our fellow veterans. I know it's very impactful. And some of that's tangible, and we can see it, and we know it. A lot of it, I think, is not really even noticeable, but it does make a real difference. And we're very grateful for you and everything you're doing on this podcast and in life in general.
Hoorah, brother. Hoorah. That's what we do, right?
Hoorah.
Now, for those that want to learn more about AMVETS or Rolling to Remember, where can they find this information, my friend?
Sure. We try to make it real easy. AMVETS.org and RollingToRemember.com. The .org works as well, but the .com will get you right there for RollingToRemember.com. We're on social media everywhere. If you can't make it to Washington, D.C. this weekend, most everything will be streaming as well, including the 1 o'clock rally with John Stewart and Rosie and you know, all of these great veterans organizations standing shoulder to shoulder.
Outstanding. Well, I'm looking forward to it, and we get on the plane late tomorrow afternoon. So we will see you this weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, if you can't make it, watch all the live streaming. Gruntsaw will be streaming from the event as well, and we hope to see you there. With that being said, check out GaslightingWarfighter.com for all of our previous podcasts and any information regarding the PACT Act. There is also downloadable information there that you can send off to your senator alongside the QR codes that are going to be presented this weekend. I implore all of you listening, get involved. If you've sent a letter or an email to your representative or senator, most importantly, your senator already, do it again, right? Because they have to respond. That's their job. And flood their emails as much as you can. If you can do it, like send an email a day, because that's what I do. And we'll talk to you guys soon.